copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
My name is Anne Solfrid Brennholt. I live in Norway near Stavanger with my husband and three kids. They are 14, 12, and 9 years old. So I've been watching a lot of these TV shows the last years. I work for an organization called The Mars Norway as a speaker and as an editor for the website Talk About Faith. My main area is to look at popular culture to see what the stories are telling us, what kind of answers they give to life's big questions. How do they connect with the answer the Bible gives? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But the answer seems trustworthy anyways when presented through the screen if you don't think about it. That's why we also provide resources in apologetics. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. Thank you that this is possible. Thank you for the tools we have been given. I pray that this session will give us tools we need to be equipped to tell the big story, to point to you, to point to what happened on the cross, in the grave, and when you were resurrected. I pray that the gospel would be presented throughout Europe, throughout the world, so that many people will see you. I pray for the children. I pray that they will see the great story in all the small stories they consume and have the wisdom to discern, so that they will not lose sight of you, and so they will always see who they are to you and who you are for them. Amen. Okay. Researchers such as Bonner Group and Moore describes childhood as a life stage when people are most open to the gospel. Early childhood, which spans the period up to 8 or 9 years of age, is critical for cognitive, social, emotional, and physical development. More than that, key values regarding worldviews are in place by the age of 6 years. TV viewing starts earlier than other forms of media and way before 6 years. In Britain, 2 to 9 year olds spends around 2 to 2.5 hours watching TV each day. Children need guidance on engaging meaningfully in culture, including popular culture, and from a distinctly Christian perspective. David Kinnaman's book, Faith for Exiles, identifies cultural discernment as one out of 5 important key values to install faith in children. Given the amount of media children are exposed to, Christian educators must also help children comprehend how it influences them, what their vulnerabilities are, and how to discern the worldviews behind the media. I believe this process can and should begin from an early age with simple tools. Yet, several researches shows that parents does not receive training from their church. Through many years of analyzing TV shows and movies, I have found that many comments from a Christian perspective often stops at a value level. Is it good? Does it have bad language? That is all well and important, but I think we need to go deeper. What we are doing today is one way of doing it. There's a quote which I find myself returning to repeatedly when working with faith formation and the media. It goes, There is a cultural narrative that is catechizing our kids. The classical definition of catechesis is to instruct orally. Traditionally, catechesis in the Christian faith took place in the home and the church, with adults asking students a series of questions about the faith, to which they would memorize and recite answers. Regularity and repetition were employed to make the instruction effective. Today, they are being catechized through regularity and repetition into a series of cultural beliefs that result in behaviors now and for the rest of their lives. This quote is by Walt Mueller. Regularity and repetition. My 9-year-old, she's seen all the episodes of Winx too many times. Talk about repetition. There is, of course, more to faith formation than what happens in front of a screen, but it is a chance for modeling. I have to say, preparing for this session, I wasn't necessarily looking forward to watching season upon season of Me and Me. The series had already had many reruns in our home. I started to feel an itch in my ear every time I heard the sound of the theme. Listen to what Natasha Crane says in the quote, in the outline. If you avoid every cartoon, book, movie, website, etc. that somehow conflicts with the Christian worldview, you are losing the opportunity to have meaningful conversations and losing the opportunity for your kids to develop discernment and understanding. I have found that to be true so many times, not at least in our home. So many conversations that came from what they were watching on TV. There are so many themes we could have gone into. This time I've chosen to look for hope and longings. Why? This quote from Pablo Martinez says, "The two great anchors of human beings are truth and hope. Both come together. They are inseparable and make the backbone of human existence." The well-known psychiatrist Pablo Martinez reminded me that hope is essential to survive. Hope is an engine, both for life and for the stories we are surrounded by. Without hope, there is no future. Hope reveals where we put our trust. So looking into these stories in the TV shows and focusing on what they hope for gives us such powerful tools to analyze their message and to discuss if we agree with the solution they choose for their longings. If this is a part of children's worldview formation, we need to find ways to respond to these messages with the hope and the truth God has given us, and to recognize that the longings we have is given us from God. Because Martinez continues, life is like a ship that needs to be moored in a safe harbor. If the anchor fails, the ship drifts at the mercy of the wind, then the chances of shipwreck are high. I will just give you a minute to reflect on this question. How does your church equip parents and those engaged in ministry for children to relate to what they see on the screens? Think about that for a minute. Okay, that was a short minute, but I'm fully aware that this question might be answered with nothing. And then the follow-up question is naturally, shouldn't this change? How can we, as a church, equip parents to help children identify these messages, identify where the hope is anchored? Let's look at some cases to see what we can find and how we can engage in them. I have chosen three different series. One is a classic, one is totally new, one is might be not so known to all of you. First, My Little Pony may be the most known of them all. Actually, the one that is now streaming is the fourth generation My Little Pony. And it has been running from 2010 to 2019. It's, the last episode has now been produced and broadcast. It's produced by Hasbro. It is designed to reach 4 to 7 year olds, but I will get back to that. It has been a major commercial success. And the catchphrase from the theme song is "Friendship is magic." 222 episodes are produced and broadcast. Talk about regularity and repetition. The show follows, if you don't know it, the show follows a unicorn pony named Twilight Sparkle. Her mentor, Princess Celestia, guides her to learn about friendship. Twilight becomes close friends with 5 other ponies: Applejack, Rarity, Fluttershy, Rainbow Dash, and Pinkie Pie. Each of the ponies represent a different facet of friendship, and Twilight discovers herself to be a key part of the magical artifacts known as the Elements of Harmony. The ponies travel on adventures and help others around Equestria, the land where they live, while working out problems that arise in their own friendship. Each episode also generally includes a moral or life lesson. But these are not just to suit children, and there's the but in the 4 to 7 year olds. It was also designed to entertain parents, and it found itself entertaining childless adults. It has a big audience of young American childless men, actually. Interesting. The next one I have been spending time with is Mia and Me. It was produced and broadcast between 2012 to 2018. It's still available in many countries on Netflix, and a feature film is expected this year. It was produced, it was a co-production between Germany, Italy, and Canada. It's both live and CGI. I will explain that. And the catchphrase is, "There I am Mia, here I am me." Mia is a girl that lost her parents and she is sent to a boarding school. This part of the series is recorded live. It's not CGI, it's not drawings. She receives a mysterious gift from her father, a book which turns out to form a portal between our world and the fantasy world of elves, unicorns, and dragons. This fantasy world is dying. It's under the control of the evil queen, Panthea. In this world, and this is the animation world, this is the CGI pictures. This world is called Centopia, and here she takes the form of a winged elven girl. She's the girl with the pink hair to the left. She struggles to balance these two worlds, the human world with the boarding school and the beautiful and suffering Centopia. And the last one for today is The Rocketeer. It's an American computer-generated television series. It's rather new. The first episode was shown in November 2019. So actually, we don't have it in Norway yet because we don't have access to Disney Junior, which is producing it and broadcasting it. It's aimed at preschoolers, and resilience is the key theme. The catchphrase is "Rise to the call." It's based on a popular comic book and a movie which some of you might have seen. Kit is our protagonist. She's 7 years old and finds that she is next in line to become the Rocketeer, a jetpack-wearing superhero that can fly. Armed with a cool new gear and secret identity, Kit takes to the skies to protect her town of Hughesville and its residents from danger. She's not alone. She has her best friend Tesh and grandfather Ambrose Secord. I don't know if you have noticed in these three series, I won't go into the aesthetics of these series, although there is plenty to say. I will just point out one thing. All of them has big heads, big eyes, and often there is something sticking out of their heads. That is to help the viewers to look in the same direction that the characters are looking into. It is helping us emotionally to connect to the same things they are wanting. It is extremely effective, but the eyes and the size of the head is completely unnatural. But it works. It actually works. In these series, they are quite different, but they follow the same recipe, and we will look into some of them, some of the key trends we find in them. The first, let's go for an adventure. These stories all include main characters that is not afraid to seek adventures. If a door opens, let's enter. Let's explore. Some of them might be reluctant, but they do it. I believe this reflects a longing that many of us has experienced. Is this it? This life, are we not meant for more? So the adventure becomes a dream. Maybe an escape, even. Dreams can come true. But just as in real life, we see in this series that new dreams seem to show up when they have fulfilled one dream. And we still have to deal with what life gives us. We long for more because God has more for us in His plan. The next trend is fighting for a better world. Someone or something in these worlds is always threatening the peace or chasing power or wealth for themselves at the expense of the good ones or the poor or the small ones or those without power. But no grown-ups has the power to fix it. Actually, there is few grown-ups at all. And those that are there, they don't act like grown-ups. They don't do much. They're in the background. They don't help the protagonists. They are just there to... Because it would have seemed unnatural that there are no parents, but they don't work. You cannot trust them to fix anything. No politicians, no parents, no teachers, no police. It's up to the newcomers, to the small ones. No wonder it appeals to the young audience. It could have been me. And we fight for a better world. I think that points to the moral law that is written on our hearts by God. Our conscience that testifies either for us or against us with regard to morality. The third trend, find your inner hero. So, trouble rises, and there is no one to go to. They all realize that it's up to them to save the world. Where can they go to find strength and courage? Because they are afraid. It's not like, or maybe Kit is not. But many of them are, that they realize what they are up against. So it's not just like they just laugh in the face of fear. But the strength and the courage is found within themselves. They might have helpers, some of them supernatural, but they have to muster the courage. And when they do, surprisingly, they find a hero capable of amazing things. Again, this talks to the young viewers. Wonder if there's a hero inside of me. Wonder what I can do if I just look inside myself. If I concentrate hard enough, if I face fear, if I take on the bad guys, who am I? We are longing to matter. We need to be challenged to grow. And we hope that in times of trouble, we will be able to step up. And if you take a step back, if you are the one, if you feel too scared to do it in real life, you can use these stories to escape and just pretend that you are the hero, at least there. Number four, the need for belonging. All of these series emphasize that nothing is possible if you're doing it alone. They might try to go on their own, but the result is often loneliness and often failure. They need to be part of a team, both for practical reasons, since their friends often have skills they need, and for emotional reasons. They need someone to lift them up. We recognize our own need for belonging, don't we? And should you feel alone in this world? Well, these characters that you have grown to know and love will always be there. And we as Christians, we know that this longing comes from a heart that will never be still until it finds rest in the Lord. He has created us to be with Him. That's why we need to belong. The last key trend. Someone has said that TV shows for the really small children are atheistic. A closed reality with no references to a world outside that specific universe. And this isn't the case here. In My Little Pony, we even get a creator story. How the world was made by the harmony of two royal sisters calling the moon out and the sun out. And even if they don't worship or address a godlike figure or talk about worldview questions like what happens after death, this is not a closed reality. Magical, supernatural things happen. In Mia and Me, we see that this parallel world she can go to. It's better, it's brighter, more flourishing, one where evil can be beaten. Isn't that one of our biggest longings? The one for a better world. The one where there are, where we are not alone. I said the characters, I didn't say it, but the characters are inward focused. They can't rely on anything supernatural other than the power of friendship. But the whole reality they live in is supernatural and inhabits supernatural powers. Isn't this a serve for us to talk to our children about how it really is the other way around? It's not up to our strength. It's resting in His powers. It's not listening to our inner voice, as many of them says. It's listening to the Holy Spirit. It is about trusting that He can use the weak, the afraid, the broken. Let's take time for a short reflection again. But how would you have used these key trends to talk to children about the gospel? Let's take a few seconds. Maybe you, there were some things you saw immediately. Maybe we can think together for a while. We have seen that these stories reflect central images or bits and pieces from God's great story. But if we look even deeper, we find more elements that is pointing towards what they communicate. Because these areas all connects to our common stories that we know either from our different religions or cultures, not just the Christian or Judeo religion. So the fact that the images we automatically connect to religious traditions, the fact that they are missing, there are no cross, no religious building, no altar, no known religious traditions. That does not mean that there are no traces of worldviews. We see them in the religious references, both from Judeo-Christian traditions and from Eastern traditions and from more. Examples, snakes representing evil, the tree of life, we've seen in a couple of these stories. Yin and Yang, there is a big focus on harmony, especially in My Little Pony. Achieving harmony releases supernatural powers. There are many pictures from religious traditions, even from the Bible, that we recognize. Sacrificing your life, paying for the sins of others, virtues more important than material things. I mentioned the evil queen Panthea from Mia and Me. She repeatedly says, nobody can see Panthea's face and live. Have you heard something similar before? Nobody can see Panthea's face and live. Exodus 33. You cannot see my face, for man may not see me and live. That is God speaking. Panthea takes the place of God. Tries to simulate the same power and the same effect on people. What does this tell us? First, we need to help the children uncover the references. And it's a great bridge. Do you recognize this? What can we read about this in the Bible? Second, they are open for the spiritual. They are not surprised that there are more to this world. Third, we need to use these bridges given to us to show them how much of the stories reflects God's great story and what we need to challenge. We mentioned it before, the fight against evil. And that's an important key trend. And evil exists in these series. It is real. They fight against evil from others and struggles with their own failure. But these series never answers important questions that we need to talk about with our children. Where does this sense of moral come from? Why should we fight for things that are good? Where does even evil come from in these shows? Why does Panthea have so many people or so many helpers? They don't receive anything from her, even grace. What motivates evil? They don't ask, the series don't ask, they don't tell. Moral, evil, a sense of right just is. So in this series, hope is connected to evil being temporarily overcome because there is always some new evil person coming their way. The bad ones are often portrayed as not smart and they always lose. In Mia and Me, the hunt for everlasting youth leads to loneliness and alienation. So there are some consequences, but still, there is not the long-lasting consequences like we experience in real life with the pain of loss for the good ones. In the real world, we have to wait for the ultimate solution. In these series, there is no ultimate solution. It's always the same loop. We fight the evil, but evil comes back. We know that this is what we long for. We cannot just find inner strength and fight loneliness, oppression, loss, and pain inside of ourselves. But we know that we have a hope for a new world where evil doesn't exist. We are soon closing in here and opening for Q&A, just a few more elements. Sometimes the connections to the story in the Bible is really, really obvious. It's just that the story is distorted. The saying or the actions is given, we can recognize from the Bible, is given a totally new setting. So it comes out totally wrong. We have already looked at what evil Panthea said. Nobody can see Panthea's face and live. I have pointed out just a few more here in this slide. Let's see what we can confirm and what we need to challenge. The catchphrase from the Rocketeer, rise to the call. God has given us all a call, and we need to rise to that call. But here, it's obviously not about accepting a God-given call. It's all about listening to the inner voice. When am I happy? When I'm doing what I'm born to do. What my heart tells me to do. But at the same time, hasn't God given us all a call to fight against evil? From Mia and Me, the catchphrase, there I am Mia, here I am me. Mia doesn't feel whole in her human body. She has tasted a better world. She uses it as escapism to get away from this world. I think we need to walk the distance with our children, explaining them what C.S. Lewis pointed out. If you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. We are dreaming of a better world, as we are supposed to do. But at the same time, this is where we are in this world. One more, really quickly. The prophecy says that she one day will return. Is from My Little Pony. Sounds familiar? Prophecies, who prophesied? What are prophecies? Who will once return? The need for belonging. These series plays on the need for belonging because they know it is global. It concerns everybody. And it is not just a matter of fitting in. It's being accepted and wanted as you are and to be met with everything you need, even if you can't recognize what you need. Isn't that a point of contact for the gospel? To try to summarize this, when we are looking for hope and longing in these shows, we find bridges for the gospel all the time. Sometimes we find that these anchors of hope in the show fails, and we can point to a better solution. But hope is strongly connected to doing what is right. Hope is not in what is. Those ruling have lost their chance. Hope lies in the newcomers, the small ones. And Barna research has shown that one of the key components for keeping the faith in the transitions for children to tweens, from tweens to youth and so on, is to give the children the opportunity to contribute and to help them understand the concept of calling. So in this series, hope lies in helping each other, in relationships, in our talents. We can confirm so much of that from a Christian perspective, but we have to challenge the fact that often it gives you the value. Hope is strongly connected to being who I really am. This quote from Daniel Strange describes what I found. Salvation is found in escape from the ugliness and drudgery of modern life, a world where mankind is surrounded by beauty rather than ugliness. These shows are all about pink, yellow, bright colors, and being happy. Escape from the ugliness and drudgery. We need to help them focus on the creator instead of the created as a temporary escape. It is a hope without substance. Utopia only exists in the imagination. And lastly, hope is that everything is going to be redeemed, including nature. But in this series, hope is for the immediate, not the ultimate future. I have pointed out to some themes that might seem kind of heavy to reflect over with 5-year-olds, with 6, 7, 8-year-olds. Is there an ultimate reality? The view of humanity, the problem of evil? They might seem too heavy, but I have experienced so many great conversations on their level. And I think it's important that we start early because it gives us opportunities to speak the truth. Do it simple. Use thumbs up, thumbs down. What do I like and why? What don't I like and why? Help them to train their muscles on cultural discernment. And lastly, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. There are so many other themes we could have looked at, but I hope this was opportunity to look into some way of looking into these shows and talking to children about it.